Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of the Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center sponsored by the U.S. Department of Defense and operated by Carnegie Mellon University. A transcript of today's podcast is posted on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts. My name is Suzanne Miller. I'm a principal researcher here at the SEI, and today I am pleased to introduce you once again to Grace Lewis, who has spoken with us before. She's the deputy lead for the SEI's Advanced Mobile Systems Initiative and technical lead for the Edge-Enabled Tactical Systems Research Team. In today's podcast, we will be discussing her research on tactical cloudlets. But first, a little bit about Grace. Grace's main research interests are mobile computing, service-oriented architecture, and cloud computing. She has more than 25 years of professional software development experience in both industry and research environments, and is also active in mentoring student teams in Carnegie Mellon University's Master's in Software Engineering program. Grace is a frequent guest on the podcast series, where she gives us the latest on her cloud and mobile computing research. I've had the privilege of working with Grace in the past, and I'm particularly glad to have a chance to catch up on her current research today. Welcome, Grace.
Thanks, Susie.
So we've interviewed you previously to talk about your research to help soldiers who use smartphones in battle. At the SEI, we tend to refer to that as on the tactical edge, and it also refers to first responders and other people that have to be sort of on the edge of where there's connectivity. Okay. For those listeners who haven't heard this term previously, I'd like to start off by explaining for our listeners the challenges that soldiers and first responders face in this type of environment.
Sure. So first of all, when we talk about tactical edge, by edge, we really mean at the edge of the connected network infrastructure. So soldiers and first responders who operate at this tactical edge face challenges of, first of all, dynamic missions, because there are lots of things happening and things can just change in this type of environment. Limited and intermittent network connectivity, because, as I just explained, it's at the edge of the connected network. Limited computing resources, because, as Susie said, we're envisioning people using smartphones, which have much less computing resources than a regular desktop or connected server. And finally, high levels of stress, because the conditions under which these people operate, which could be disaster environments, are very stressful. So if you combine all these conditions, it makes operating in this environment very challenging, and that's the area that we work in.
And so you're trying to extend the capabilities of mobile devices used by these folks in this limited resources, multiple limited resources that you're dealing with, and you've got a concept of cloudlet-based cyber foraging. So let's talk about what cyber foraging is and how cloudlets relate to that.
Okay, so cyber foraging is an area of research and work within mobile cloud computing that leverages external resources, whether these are cloud servers or local servers that we also call surrogates, to augment the computation and storage capabilities of these resource-limited mobile devices, which could be smartphones, while at the same time extending their battery life. So there are two main forms of cyber foraging. One is computation offload, where the idea is that you would offload expensive computation that is supposed to run on the mobile device. You offload it to a server in order to extend the battery life and increase the computational capability, because it's using more powerful cloud resources than the ones on the mobile device. The second form of cyber foraging is called data staging. And the idea is to improve data transfers between mobile devices and the cloud, and vice versa, by temporarily staging data in transit on these surrogates, which we call cloudlets.
So for people that don't know, a lot of the data transfer is almost like what we would call record by record or even field by field. There's lots of instances of data moving, and so what you're really talking about with staging is grouping packets of data together so that you're not always transmitting, you're actually limiting the amount of transmission.
Correct, and actually there are multiple forms of data staging. So what you talked about is what we call them is outbound data processing, mm-hmm. and inbound data processing.
Okay.
Whereas in one case you're gathering data on the mobile device and you're trying to send it to the cloud, which may or may not be available, right?
Right.
The other one is inbound processing, where you have data in the cloud and you want to get it to the mobile device, but you don't want the mobile device to get all the data.
Right.
So what you do is, you, for example, you place a cloudlet, which I'm yet to talk about, and you place it in the middle, and that cloudlet does a little bit of the processing so that the mobile device doesn't get all the data. You can also talk about prefetching, which is another form of data staging, where what you have is the Cloudlet, because it's a computational unit, what it's trying to do is it's trying to guess what data the mobile device needs, and then it does some prefetching. So for example, if you're in a certain region, if you know that a mobile device is in a certain region, you might prefetch data particular to that region because you have the feeling that mobile device is going to be able to use that data. So there are different forms of data staging, but in general, that's the idea.
Okay.
To be able to concentrate data in this intermediate surrogate, which we call a technical cloudlet, so that it more efficiently gets used by the mobile device.
So talk explicitly about what is a cloudlet and how does it help with this staging and offload of computation.
Sure. So cloudlet, the easiest way to think about a cloudlet is really as a discoverable data center in a box, the smallest private cloud you can think of. And the essence of tactical cloudlets, in addition to being discoverable, is that they're in single hop proximity of the mobile devices that use them. What I mean by discoverable is that a mobile device can basically discover cloudlets around it, because what the cloudlets do is they broadcast their presence. And so a mobile device can say, okay, I have two or three cloudlets around me and I'm going to be able to use them in this way or another. They're in single hop proximity, meaning that I'm talking about Wi-Fi as opposed to 3G. And that's key, because not only do Wi-Fi connections have greater bandwidth, but also there is a lot of evidence that show that Wi-Fi, for example, consumes less battery than 3G communications. In addition, tactical cloudlets are virtual machine based. And what this allows us is to take advantage of what big data centers do for management, for scalability, for elasticity, except that we do it at the edge. Another advantage of a VM-based solution, a virtual machine-based solution, is that really you can package any legacy capability inside a virtual machine. And basically what you need to do is build a very thin client for the mobile device to use that capability. So if I were to summarize, like, what is a tactical cloudlet, I would say it's a forward-deployed, discoverable, virtual machine-based server that can be hosted on vehicles or other platforms to provide infrastructure to offload computation, to forward data stage data for a mission, to perform data filtering to remove unnecessary data streams, for example, intended for dismounted users, and finally to serve as collection points for data heading to enterprise repositories.
So this is a really important concept, and there's got to be lots of interest in this, which you've spoken at some conferences about this, but you've also come up with five approaches to provisioning these cloudlets. Mm-hmm. So if this is a data center in a box, there have to be different ways of accessing that and different ways of configuring those.
Mm-hmm.
And so your research has sort of developed these five approaches. In the past, we've interviewed you about optimized virtual machine synthesis and application virtualization. So give us a brief recap of those as well as the other three approaches you've discovered.
Okay, so let me provide some background, especially for those listeners that have not heard the previous podcast. So one key thing, in addition to being discoverable and virtual machine-based and all that, is that cloudlets are intended to ideally be used disconnected from the enterprise, because, again, there is no guarantee about the connectivity that you're going to have between the cloudlets and the data centers or the enterprise. So a key concept behind this is something called cloudlet provisioning, which is how do you get the computation or the capabilities on that data center in a box or that data on that box so that people can use it in the field. So, and we call this cloudlet provisioning mechanisms. Our first piece of work looked at something called optimized VM synthesis. And this is because when cloudlets were envisioned, there was a process by which they were provisioned called VM synthesis. This is something that was developed by our collaborator on campus. His name is Mahadev Satyanarayanan, or he goes also by Satya. And what VM synthesis is all about is the following. So what gets transferred between the mobile device and the cloudlet at runtime is something called an application overlay. So this is a case where we're doing cloudlet provisioning at runtime. So the way an application overlay gets created is that in advance, what you do is you start a base VM. A base VM is whatever you define as your baseline, right? And then what you do is you install an application inside this base VM, and once it's installed, you suspend it, right? So once you suspend it, then you have two different, basically binary files, because that's what they end up being. You have a file that represents the state after everything was installed, and you have a set of files that represents the state of that base VM, what your baseline is. So because these are binary files, You can calculate the binary difference between these two, and this basically constitutes an application overlay. So at runtime, in the original VM synthesis, that mobile device would transfer this application overlay to the cloudlet at runtime, and then the cloudlet would apply that overlay to the same base VM from which it was created to constitute a complete VM. We made some optimizations to this original VM synthesis process that was proposed by Satya because the application overlays, at least as they were originally envisioned, were extremely large. So we wanted to see if we could make these applications overlay smaller.
That sort of goes against some of the idea of the tactical edge.
Exactly, because, I want to go back a little bit too, because when cloudlets were envisioned, they were not meant to operate in these types of environments.
Right.
They were more intended towards the more regular type of everyday scenarios. So we did some optimizations. We also wanted to speed up the process itself, because not only was it taking time to transfer the application overlay, which is quite large, but it was also taking time to do this synthesis process of applying the overlay on top of the base VM. Even with all these optimizations, it still was really large to handle in edge environments. We did some experiments, which I'll talk about later, but the overlays were between 55 and 300 megabytes, depending on the type of application, and that's really hard to handle in tactical edge environments.
Sure.
So what we started doing was just looking at different approaches, but still trying to provision from the mobile device itself. So we looked into something called application virtualization. And the idea behind application virtualization is to create these virtualized applications or packages where you try to wrap or contain everything that the application is going to need inside a package, so that basically you're isolating it from the operating system.
Okay.
And so it can work self-contained independently. There are lots of tools out there that you can use. In particular, we use two tools, one called CDE, one called Cameo, because for different for Windows and Linux-based environments. And what happens when you use these tools in these environments for application virtualization is, like I said, what happens is that a runtime component intercepts all system calls from the application and redirects those to resources inside the virtualized application, so that way you don't have any dependencies with the specific operating system or any differences that could be between versions and builds and things like that. So basically, the virtualized application has all that it needs, and it doesn't rely on specifics of the operating system. The advantage of application virtualization is that what is transferred at runtime from the mobile device to the cloudlet is the virtualized application package, which is a lot smaller than an application overlay.
Mm-hmm.
Our experiments created packages between 15 and 70 megabytes, which is much smaller than the numbers I mentioned before. But if you think about it, they're still too large for edge environments. In addition, something that we have found, and that a lot of people that have used these tools to package applications, is that it's very hard to guarantee that all the dependencies are captured,
mm-hmm.
and this can lead to errors at runtime.
That's not a good thing when you don't have enterprise resources to make corrections.
Correct. And in addition to that, is something another challenge that I didn't mention is if you think about where these systems are deployed, you don't really have IT people in
typically not.
Exactly. So it's very hard to fix any problems with that.
Yeah. Okay. What came next?
Okay. So this made us take a step back and said, you know what, is it really in these environments, is it really that important to provision from the mobile device? Why don't we look at what data centers do, what cloud providers do? Like, for example,
mm-hmm.
if you're a user of a cloud infrastructure, you're not provisioning the cloud at runtime with your computation.
Right.
It's already there, right? So what we did is, okay, what if instead of trying to provision from the mobile device, we try to just leverage what the data centers do? So we created a third cloudlet provisioning mechanism called Cache VM. So basically what we're doing here is that we package each capability in something that we call a service VM. And you can think of service in the same way of a SOA, a service-based
okay.
type of system, which is it's a single capability, it's self-contained. And in our case, what it exposes is basically a service VM ID. And so what happens in this case is that you would pre-provision the cloudlet with a lot of these service VMs that correspond to mission specific capabilities. So in that case, basically, when you're going to go out on a mission, you're trying to think, okay, based on the mission that this person is going to execute, what would be the capabilities that would be necessary? Does this type of mission require speech recognition? Does it require natural language translation? Is it going to require this type of data, map data, et cetera? So you provision these clouds with a lot of these service VMs that have, like I said, a unique identifier. So at runtime, what the mobile device does is instead of saying, please deploy this capability for me, it says, do you have this capability? And so it says, do you have a capability that matches this service ID? And if it does, correct. And if it does, then it starts a service VM. The advantage, obviously, is at runtime, I'm not transferring a big application overlay or a packaged application or anything. It's just a service ID. But the disadvantage is that the cloudlet has to be pre-provisioned. So, for example, if I don't have that capability on the cloudlet, it's a problem. At this point, I have two options. Either, well, I just don't have the capability, or if by any chance the cloudlet is connected to the enterprise at that time, the cloudlet could say, does the enterprise have this capability and bring it over?
And that's kind of, you don't know if that's the case, but that is a possibility.
So absolutely.
In provisioning the cloudlet, you would look at historical data for these kinds of missions, sort of provision the highest probability ones, but you'd have to balance because you've got a space limitation in the cloudlet as well.
Correct.
You know, what are the things that are not as likely to be used? Mm-hmm. So that's you'd make those decisions at the enterprise level.
Correct. And also, if you think about how the kind of like the client-server model works in with these cloudlets, the idea is that what runs on the mobile device is a very thin client, and then you have all the computation-intensive stuff running on the cloudlet. So in this particular provisioning mechanism for cache VM, the mobile device would have to have the client.
Sure.
So it's basically if I'm running this app and say, do you have the matching server for this? So I run the client. Do you have the matching server? So we said in our fourth mechanism, we say, okay, let's take it even one step further. Suppose a mobile device doesn't have anything. It just knows, you know what? I need some kind of face recognition capability. I need some kind of speech recognition capability. So we implemented something, Cloudlet Push, which it's basically an app store. So like I said before, at runtime, instead of saying, do you have this particular service ID, it basically says, do you have this type of a capability? And so what happens at runtime are two things in parallel. One is that the client gets sent from the cloudlet to the mobile device, which is why we call it Cloudlet Push. And then it gets installed on the mobile device. And at the same time, we start the back-end server for it. So while this application gets installed on a mobile device, the service VM gets up and running. And then at the end of this whole process, then you're back to the previous case of the cache VM, basically. So this is the advantage again is a small payload because it's really small. But the app, because the client is so tiny, what gets sent from the cloudlet to the mobile device is very small. So you also have that advantage of the small payload. But and the disadvantage now is that the cloudlet would have to have as many versions of that client for the different
platforms.
Which could or could not be a problem. If you have a standardized client, then it's not a problem. But if you have like an open, you can have whatever client you want, then it becomes
device kind of environment could be a little more challenging.
Then it becomes a little bit more challenging. And so we were pretty happy with Cloudlet Push, but then we said, okay, what do data centers do? And we came up with a fifth Cloudlet provisioning mechanism, and we call it on-demand VM provisioning. So the way servers in the cloud get provisioned in industry or in the enterprise is using cloud provisioning tools. An example of this type of tool is something called Puppet. There's also Chef. But what these tools do is that if you're the administrator for a bunch of servers in the cloud, you run scripts in these tools. And so, for example, if a customer in this case, which is your organization, says, oh, I want a VM with this and this and this in it, then you would say, okay, you want this type of database, you want that type of different tools in it. And so what it does is it creates on the fly a VM or a space that matches whatever you want, right? So what if we did that at the edge, which was a little bit challenging and a little bit out there, but we wanted to do it anyway, which is, what if at runtime what I send from the mobile device to the cloudlet is one of these scripts? And basically I'm not asking for a specific capability, I'm not asking for a particular app or anything like that, but basically I'm saying, please construct this service VM for me. So at runtime, the tool runs on the cloudlet in the same way that it would run on the cloud, and it starts putting pieces together. So it starts a base VM and installs a database in it, installs a face capability in it, installs this other stuff in it. And at the end of the process, then you have a service VM. Now, The advantage of this is extreme flexibility, because basically as long as you have the pieces together, you can put together whatever VM you want. But that advantage is also a disadvantage, because now you have to be certain that all those pieces are on the cloudlet, or that maybe you're connected to the enterprise and those pieces are available somewhere. So, and in practice, what also happened is it ended up being a very lengthy process, because you're starting to put pieces together. But we wanted to see if this was possible at the edge. Yes. Is it possible? Yes. Could it be a potential way of doing it at the edge? Yes, but you have to understand the disadvantages that come with it.
Okay. So you've got you're basically going from packaged to piece parts.
Correct.
And construction. And
correct.
So you've got a spectrum mm-hmm. of ways, which could apply in different settings.
Absolutely.
And so okay, so I think you've reached the boundaries on that one. But then you also conducted some experiments mm-hmm. in addition to just figuring these out.
Sure.
How do we, what's more effective for people at the edge in different settings? So what were some of the results of those experiments, and how did you conduct those?
Okay, sure. So we compared the five cloudlet provisioning mechanisms in terms of from a quantitative perspective, in terms of payload size, energy consumption, and also application ready time, which we define as the moment from which I say I need this capability till when the cloudlet says the capability is ready. And in addition to that, we did a qualitative comparison, because again, it's not just about the numbers. And we started to look at advantages and disadvantages of all the methods, in terms of how easy it is for a user, how
cognitive
easy it is for a deliverer,
all people that are in risky situations.
Correct, all these things. And basically, what combining the quantitative numbers from the qualitative, we decided to establish a baseline. It's really this is our tactical cloud implementation baseline.
Okay.
Is a combination of cache VM and cloudlet push.
Okay.
So it's a combination of, you can use both. If I don't have any client on me, I can say, okay, do you have this capability? But once I have the client, then I go back to cache VM. So the application gets only installed once. So we
okay.
call it a combination
okay.
of cache VM and cloudlet push. It really enables lower energy consumption on the mobile device. We also think it places less requirements on the mobile devices themselves. And finally, it really simplifies the provisioning in tactical cloud environments, because when you're pre-provisioning your cloudlet, you're placing all the capabilities in there, including their clients. So now
right.
you have everything.
Yeah.
Now you really have the data center in a box, but you also have the app store in a box. So we think it's the combination, like the best of both worlds. An additional advantage of combining both mechanisms, and I already talked a little bit about this, is that if the mobile device already has the client app, it can simply, you know, just look for a matching service VM. And if not, it can obtain it from the cloudlet. So it's doing the App Store. The trade-off, and I also talked about this before, is that it relies on cloudlets that are pre-provisioned with server capabilities that might be needed for a particular mission, or that the cloudlet is connected to the enterprise, even if just at deployment time, to obtain the capabilities. We would argue that this requirement is not unreasonable in tactical edge environments, and that it makes cloudlet deployment in the field easier and faster, while leveraging the state of the art and best practices from the cloud computing industry. A pre-provisioned VM-based solution also promotes resiliency and survivability by supporting rapid, for example, live VM migration in case of cloudlet mobility, in case you discover more powerful or less loaded cloudlets, or if there is some kind of unavailability due to disconnection or disruption. It also supports scalability and elasticity, because you can start and stop VMs as needed based on the number of active users, which is what is done in industry. And this, what is interesting, again, about edge environments is that user size is typically bounded. Like, you know what the size is. When you deploy a mission, you know how big the group mm-hmm. is going to be. So we're not talking about, you know, what I call the Starbucks scenario, where you can have
a lot of
people coming in.
Yeah.
Correct. It's more bounded. So it really lends itself to these type of environments. In addition, if you think about a lot of the applications that are necessary in the field, they're very request response. I took a picture, please process this image for me. I grabbed this voice here, can you please process this? I grabbed a sample of something, can you please? So it's very request response. That also lends itself a lot to these cloudlets, and also to disconnected operations, where you're not constantly trying to gather data, but you're sending a
it's
request,
not doing
it's being
sense
processed.
Of fusion.
No, you're not
you're doing
anything
or
like
data
that.
Fusion. You're really just
you
trying
could,
to get that's
but,
a different interview.
Yes.
But you're trying to get an answer to a question. Again, it's back to that, we're in very pressure cooker situations, and we're trying to limit what we need just to get to the next thing that we need to do typically.
Correct. And so because of this request response type of scenario, you can imagine a cloudlet-based solution in which you send a request, right? You send something for processing, and you all of a sudden you lose connectivity. Well, the cloudlet could store that, for example, for you until you get reconnected and say, correct. Or, for example, it could find another cloudlet and say, hey, you know what, maybe there's another cloudlet that could get this information
to you. So one of the possibilities of this is communication cloudlet to cloudlet.
Absolutely.
And so we don't want to forget that as one of the resources that could amplify the smartphone, you know, sort of edge environment.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is, you didn't do this by yourself. You're really smart, but I know that you have got a wonderful team of researchers
Absolutely.
That you work with in this area. To help the warfighters, to help first responders make better use of their limited resources in the field. We've talked to Jeff Boleyn and Aninde. They talked about group context-aware computing as a way to improve situational awareness. We've talked to Soumya Samanta, who talked about situational awareness mashups, and that's led to a whole new area of research within your group called Edge Analytics. So what else have you guys got going on with you and members of your teams that people can look forward to?
A lot. So let
it
me
It is very bad for Grace to be bored. I just want to say that.
I'll talk first about tactical cloudless because it's the work I'm closest to. The area that we are moving into is the area of trust, in particular establishing trusted identities in disconnected environments.
This is part of discoverable but trusted.
Correct.
It's part of what you're trying to add into that. Kind of equation.
Correct. So our current tactical cloudlet implementation, the baseline that I talked about, has basic security features, and for the most part relies on the security provided at the network level. We realize that this might be enough in some scenarios, but it's definitely not enough in others. So what we're looking at is ways of establishing trusted identities between mobile devices and cloudlets that don't require reach back to an online trusted authority or, for example, rely on certificates that might be expired because in the field there might not be a way to validate
right.
it. So we're working with our cert colleagues to establish some kind of trusted identity for these cloudlets so people will feel more comfortable with the trust solution that's implemented.
Okay.
Jeff Boleyn and his team, in collaboration, like you said, with an Inde from campus, Jeff leads a task called Information Superiority to the Edge. We call it ICE internally. And the goal of this task is to leverage not only individual context, but also the context of the people that are deployed as a group to make decisions with respect to, for example, resource optimization or data visualization that benefit the whole group and not just the individual. You know, it's like the sum is greater than the parts.
Mm-hmm.
This past year, they focused on activity recognition and being able to display the right information to the right time, at the right time to the right person, based on not just what the person is doing, but also what the group as a whole is doing. So it's really about activity recognition. The data is still being processed, but the results are looking very promising to be able to detect what a group is doing. Soumya Samanta and his team, they lead a task called Edge Analytics. And this task focuses on developing system architectures for analyzing large streams of data at the edge. The proposed architectures and capabilities leverage what we call fidelity timeliness trade-offs, meaning that the system might not be able to provide a 100 precise answer in human real time with the resources that it has at the edge, but it might be able to provide an 80% answer in human real time. You know, we're talking about seconds. The team has been very successful in using social media streams, such as Twitter, as an example of the analysis capabilities as well as the visualizations for the data streams. For example, we can do sentiment analysis, like are these happy tweets or sad tweets. We can do named entities, meaning is it an organization, is it a person, what are the trends showing, topic modeling to be able to bucket, for example, tweets into topics. And we're using Twitter simply because it's an example of a large data stream.
Mm-hmm.
But you can imagine using data coming from sensors, like you said, for doing.
Right.
But it basically it's any type of large data stream. However, this year, what they're focusing on is assigning confidence values because sometimes anybody can tweet. Anybody can tweet about anything.
Sure.
And there have been many, many scandals and many things recently, you know, about people.
Repetition creates truth.
Correct.
Yeah.
So what Soumya and his team want to work on this year, because we've had a lot of success with social media streams, is assigning confidence values. And not only that, but showing what was the chain of reasoning. Because again, we're at the edge. We can't focus on a 100% solution. But if you tell someone who's trying to visualize all this information saying, hey, I think this is true and I'm 80% confident, and this is what I, meaning the system, did to say the chain of reasoning, why we think it's 80% true.
So if you know something, if you have more information about context than the system does, you can evaluate that, see that that element of context was not taken into effect when they were doing the analysis, and make your judgment a little bit more
concrete. And so instead of trying to provide like an automated, you know, this is I already did all this analysis and I'm 100% confident, it's really up to the user to say, okay, based on what I'm seeing, how should I react to this data? Okay. And finally, we're kicking off a brand new task in Precise's Sensor Fusion, which is can I integrate data that is coming from these social media streams, which is being used a lot in a lot of these environments that we work in. Can we combine it with data coming from real sensors to be able to provide an even better picture of situational awareness at the edge?
Cool. So you're not bored, I can tell.
I am not.
That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And everybody, you're keeping everybody busy with all of these streams of research, so we will have future discussions about some of the stuff. I'm particularly interested in the sensor fusion, especially, I mean, the way smartphones have incorporated sensors just for everyday use, some of the things have got to be amazing that are possible here. So that's very exciting. But thank you for telling us about your Cloudlet work today. I think the provisioning things and the idea of a data center in a box is going to be very important for the warfighters as well as for first responders in a lot of different areas. Mm-hmm. So I think that's very important work. If you, our listeners, would like to view Grace's paper related to this, as well as all of the SEI's technical reports and notes, please visit sei.cmu.edu/library/reports-papers, that's all one word, .cfm. In the lower left-hand corner of the page, click on Grace's name in the Authors A to Z Index. Grace has also authored several blog posts on the SEI website at blog.sei.cmu.edu. Click on the Cloud Computing tag or on Grace's name under the author index. For more information on the research Grace's team is doing in pervasive mobile computing, please see their Our Work website at sei.cmu.edu/mobilecomputing/research/index.cfm. This podcast is available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts and on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at info@sei.cmu.edu. Thank you for listening.